Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me again for another week as we dive into God's Word, as we're fed by His Word together and grow in the likeness of Christ. I'm so excited to be picking back up. We're actually going to pick back up with Philippians. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Philippians chapter 3, hearing the Lord speak to us some amazing words through St. Paul. And we're going to pick up in Philippians chapter 4. I've been in this book week after week after week. It's kind of crazy. It's like one of those things where anytime anyone like brings up a scripture verse in the last couple of weeks, it's from these two chapters of Philippians. You know, someone gave me a little note and they said they were praying these verses for me. And of course, it was from these chapters of Philippians. And so there's something for me in this season just on these verses and these sections. And I think there's something that the Lord is really speaking to us together. So I want to take a little bit of time to begin in Philippians chapter 4 and go through some amazing, amazing passages by St. Paul that are really going to encourage us in our walk with Christ. But I want to share a little bit. I know a couple of weeks ago I mentioned that it was the week of Pine Hills Girls Camp and to be praying for that. And so I just want to share a little bit for those of you who know and for those of you who might not know just about our time there. Pine Hills is a camp for middle school boys and middle school girls that was started about 40 years ago here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it's been going yearly since then, growing. There's a separate week for boys, a separate week for girls. And the boys' camp is in June. The girls' camp is in August. And it's for the campers are going into seventh grade through going into ninth grade. So it's for middle schoolers. And it's a week-long overnight camp. It takes place at a YMCA camp here in Jackson. And it's run by different members of the staff of Renewal Ministries, as well as a number of young adults and college volunteers who have gone through the camp, who have been discipled by us leaders for many years. And it was a special year for us girls camp because it was our 40th year. My mom, Debbie, has been running the camp for 40 years, and we've just seen tremendous fruit year after year. And the reason that I want to share with you about it, well, one, because you know, maybe next year, if you're listening, you have wherever you're from, if you have a middle schooler that you're looking for something like that to send them to be able to encounter the person of Christ. But our theme this year for the girls' camp was Behold, I Make All Things New. And I actually did a week of shows. You can go back and listen to that on Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. And so throughout the week, we took the girls through. On the first day, it was new promises. And then it was new identity. And then new heart. And then God bringing us into a new family, which gives us a new life in the spirit to live. And then we have new power to fight the lies of the enemy. And then we're going to a new home in heaven, which gives us a new mission here on earth to bring everyone with us. So that's what we took 11, 12, 13-year-old girls through, and we had 204 campers, and just some glory stories to give you hope today, wherever you're at, whether you're discouraged, whether you're excited, whatever you think about the next generation, is these 204 girls came around the Lord, experienced Him, encountered the person of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, really gave their lives to Him, some of them for a second time, some of them for the very first time, and just in talking to these girls, they're saying, I've been set free from anxiety. Or a couple of them came up to me and they said, for the first time when I encountered Jesus, I believed that I am lovable. And we're hearing from some of the moms who are walking into their daughters' rooms and the daughters are worshiping on their own. And one girl was like, I'm going to teach my sister how to fight the lies of the enemy and believe in the truth of what God says about her. And so I'm just coming back from this camp just totally encouraged, refreshed by the Holy Spirit, and even more encouraged to dive deeper into God's Word to encounter Him, because there's this ripple effect going out into the world, and the generations that are to come are serious about the Lord. They want Jesus, friends. They want the real thing. They want the real gospel. They want to encounter Him. They don't want to be pandered to. They don't want to numb out anymore. They want to be brought into the fullness of life with Jesus Christ. So I hope that just encourages you today as we begin our time. Just so those little glory stories about these little 11, 12, 13-year-olds who are taking Jesus seriously. And in that, they're discovering their identities and discovering who they are in Christ. So if you want any more information, you can go to pinehillscamp.org and find information about the boys' camp, the girls' camp, or renewalministries.net. So to get started, we're going to pray. I'm going to start in Psalm 90. Again, you might be like, we didn't leave off in Psalm 90, but we're just going to guess about where we left off. And I love Psalm 90, so we're going to jump off from Psalm 90 and go ahead and read a little bit of that as our intro prayer before we begin in Philippians chapter 4. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dried and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain wisdom of heart. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord God, you are mighty in power. You are awesome. You are glorious. Give us a proper fear of you. Not a wrong fear that drives us away, but a fear of the Lord that draws us closer, that we may know that you are God and we are not. And Lord, teach us to number our days that we may live today exactly as you're calling us, a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may submit our wills to you and walk in your ways as if today was the last day that we would live. And we pray all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to pick up again. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Philippians chapter 3 in the section that Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I count everything as a loss for the supreme worth, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. And we talked about how knowing Jesus is the thing that's worth everything. It's not just a little bit more worth it than our lives on earth. It's not a little bit more worth it than worldly things. It's of surpassing worth. And how Paul says the things that the mature disciple will long for and will live by are to know God, to know the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, and to obtain the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul saying this is how a mature disciple thinks. So Paul's going to continue on and challenge us. So here I'm going to read a chunk from Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is an amazing set of verses, and it's challenging on a number of levels. And what we see before Paul begins chapter 4, he ends chapter 3 by saying, our commonwealth is in heaven. So what is a commonwealth? It's essentially saying our citizenship. He's saying our citizenship is in heaven. And this is the place from which we await the coming of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. So this is amazing. That's how Paul ends chapter 3. He's saying, we have a citizenship that's not here. You live here. But you're in exile in a way in this earth, and your citizenship belongs to heaven, right? Because what does Paul say in Colossians? Remember, you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. When Christ rises from the dead and you're made new to your baptism, he takes you with him. He takes you spiritually with him, and he says, you have a new home. Now that you have an identity, you have a new home that you're going to. And so he says, this is your citizenship, and you will have a glorious body. And there's a power that's at work in you, and this is the same power which allows Christ to make all things subject to himself. So this is where Paul's leaving you. And from this place, he's giving a command. And this is what I want to be clear about. He's writing to the church in Philippi. He's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's not giving a suggestion. He's not saying, oh, you're having a hard time. Like, I think gratitude might help. Like, why don't you try out a gratitude journal? Like, why don't you try out, like, reading a verse a day? Like, why don't you try out this worship song? No, Paul's saying, remember who you are. You have a citizenship in heaven, and from this place, I'm giving you this command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This is a command, friends. It's not a suggestion. It's not like some Christians are joyful and some Christians are not. I remember Pope Francis had that famous thing where he talked about, like, why are Christians such sourpusses? Why are they always walking around without smiles on their faces, right? And it's so true, but the goal is not to be fake. The goal is to rejoice. And friends, you might be sitting there thinking, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm carrying. I can't rejoice. This is so hard. But Paul's saying, because it's a command, rejoicing in the Lord is actually a muscle that you can exercise. It's actually a choice that you can make. I love this. Henry Nouwen, he has this great definition of joy. He says, joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved. And when we were at our camp last year, we asked the girls, what does unconditionally mean? And one of the little girls stood up and she said, no matter what. And so joy is the reality. It's choosing to live in the reality that no matter what, you are loved by God. And so even when everything is going on around you, even when nothing is going right, even when you're like, I actually feel like I can't muster this up, we can choose to rejoice. And notice how Paul says it twice. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. I'm giving you a command, because remember, what is this command coming out of? It's coming out of a place of saying, you have a citizenship in heaven. This is why you rejoice. Not because your circumstances are perfect. Not because everything is going your way. But because you are unconditionally loved by the Father. Because of your reality in heaven. Because of who God has made you to be. All of these truths you can choose to rejoice in. So friends, we're just scratching the surface, and I want to encourage you, as you leave this episode today, go into your prayer, take your prayer journal, take your Bible, and ask the Lord to show you how loved you are, and ask him to give you the strength to rejoice in that reality, not in your circumstances, not in the things that are going right or the things that are going wrong, but in the reality that you are loved no matter what by God. So go in that place and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.